So sorry about that delay, anybody who's been hanging out. I do appreciate it. But yeah, I ran into some technical difficulties, but that's okay. We are here, we are live on Facebook Live. Obviously, this is the first time that I've done this for this show. So first off, I want to introduce the show, introduce what we're going to be doing here. For anyone who didn't know, my name is Kyle Mankey. I'm also on Pitch Black, the podcast, as well as pitchblacknews.com, riverartreport.com, a couple other places. I wanted to do this show separately to help give a landing spot to things that don't quite fit with Pitch Black. Pitch Black is really focused on San Antonio FC, pretty much 100%, a little bit of USL. With this, I want to spread the coverage around a little bit. We do have two MLS teams already in Texas, as much as we don't like to acknowledge them sometimes, with Dallas and Houston. So I wanted to talk about them a little bit. I wanted to talk about the men's national team a little bit. These aren't going to be the hour and a half, 2 hour shows that Pitch Black has. These will be shorter, multiple times a week, and interactive. That's why we're doing it on Facebook Live. Still going to upload it to the same places that we launch the Pitch Black podcast. So if you listen to podcasts on iTunes and Google Play, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find this there as well if you can't catch the live show. So let's start off in the comfort zone, right, with San Antonio FC. We are in the final week of preseason, as unbelievable as that is, and there are no more preseason friendlies for San Antonio. We have seen everything we're going to see until the regular season starts on March 26th this week. So I'm excited about where this team is. I'm excited about what we've seen so far in the preseason. I think there are still some questions as to where the goals are going to come from, just like we had last year. That's a little familiar, right? But I think the roster that's been built in this offseason is just a completely different monster from last year. We did, over at Pitch Black, an article following where those players from 2016 ended up after the season. And a lot of them ended up, I think 11 of them ended up back with San Antonio FC, but a lot of them ended up either in other USL clubs or as trialists for other USL clubs or NASL clubs. So the fact that a lot of the 2016 starting 11 for San Antonio FC were trialists now, you know, to go from starters to trialists, I think that shows the huge jump that this team is going to be making in terms of quality of players that are on the field. I think the experience on paper speaks for itself with a lot of those guys. So it'll be interesting to watch. I do have San Antonio projected as a top four team in the West when all is said and done. We'll see if that comes back to bite me, but that's where we're at right now. I think Swope Park and Sacramento have really reloaded since last year, and they're going to make a big push again. I think Tulsa is my dark horse for the USL West. Tulsa, last in the league last year in just about every metric you could think of, and somehow they've put together a winning roster so far in this preseason. So it'll be interesting to see how that carries over, if that's something that is just preseason success or if it's foreshadowing a really successful season for a team who really could have done better last year, to put it lightly. When it comes to San Antonio, first stop is RGV on the 26th. It's going to be interesting. RGV has a friendly on Wednesday, the 22nd, and I don't understand what the mentality here is. They're bringing in Monterrey, and it's probably going to be a very well-attended match. I have to imagine that there's going to be a lot of Monterrey fans that, even if they're not bringing their starting 11, just to see guys wearing the jersey playing in Edinburgh is going to be cool for a lot of people that live down there. So I have to imagine that, you know, between the opponent and the first time the HEB Park is going to be open to the public, finally, I have to imagine that it's going to be close to a sellout, if not a sellout. The thing that puts a question mark there is, what does RGV do to respond? Because you don't want to trot out anything but your best when you have that many fans and that many potential fans to capture for the rest of the season, right? But they do have that game 4 days later against San Antonio. Granted, 4 days is a lot of time of rest right at the beginning of the season, so maybe it's not an issue, but I have to think that you would rather play your first game fresh rather than it be your first game of the season is your second game that week. That can't be ideal for them from a field quality standpoint. That being said, we're going to see. We'll keep an eye on who they trot out there for their starting 11 against Monterrey, see if it's anything close to what we expect to see in the weekend against San Antonio. But I have to think that that bounces everything into San Antonio's favor. In addition to player rest issues, you're also looking at crowd issues. Are all of those people that are coming to HEB Park on Wednesday really going to turn around and come again that weekend on Sunday? I don't know. Maybe they're excited. Maybe they're looking for something to do and it'll be a cool activity for everybody. But I think that's a hard thing to ask, seeing the same team play twice a week when they don't necessarily have a huge loyal fan base built up after just 1 year in the league. So it'll be interesting to see who RGV pops out against Monterrey, and we'll see how that affects who they bring out against San Antonio and the quality there. Cool thing about RGV is they did just open up. They're getting ready to open up HEB Park, like I mentioned, and we're finally seeing lots of photos from inside the stadium, and it really is a very nice stadium from everything that we can tell. The only thing that kind of I question is the distance of the seats from the field itself. Because if you look at these pictures online, the first level of the stadium is actually suites, which has worked in a lot of other stadiums. It's really great. But I don't know. It's an interesting design choice, in my opinion, because I've had several players tell me that it's really difficult to play at Toyota Field as an opponent because there are fans right on you constantly. Not just the supporters groups at either end, but, you know, the fans along the touchlines are really into the game too and really rabid too. So it's really interesting that they took that away, set the stadium further back from the pitch, and put the bottom level as suites. So, you know, maybe those people show up and they'll give the players an earful, everything else, but it's definitely a different environment than what a lot of soccer-specific stadiums are trying to achieve. The other big design question for me is, it looks like there's not seating behind the goals, that it's only along the touchline. So again, kind of along that same line, you're losing your home field advantage, quote unquote, with that crowd noise, the crowd interaction, that intimidation factor. You're losing all of that by building an open stadium that is not going to generate a lot of crowd noise. And it's just a lot of interesting design choices for a stadium that I understood to be, in its development, a soccer-specific stadium, and a stadium specifically for this team, for RGV, for you know, their future. Even though their partnership with the Houston Dynamo has pretty much locked RGV into being a USL team or a second division team for the long haul, which is great, and it's fine, and it's quality soccer in an area that probably is really going to enjoy it for a long time. So I can't figure out why they wouldn't build their stadium to capitalize on that fandom. They sold a lot of tickets last year in their temporary home. I want to say they sold out several games, but I also want to say the capacity was around 2,500, so it wasn't huge. HEB Park sits 9,700, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, so it's a much bigger stadium. It's bigger than Toyota Field, seating-wise, but take a look at those photos when you get a chance, and you're going to see that the stadium is just kind of interesting in how it's designed. It really doesn't fit with a lot of the other soccer-specific stadium models that we've seen around the league. But I am happy for RGV that they have a soccer-specific stadium. That is great. So, USL season starts this week. MLS season has been underway for a little while now. I am a little surprised, happily surprised, at how much Houston has turned things around this year. Houston was one of the more stagnant, boring teams to watch last year in MLS, if we're being honest. And this year they are easily one of the most exciting teams between Kyoto and Torres and all those guys. It's killer. No Ranger Creek today. Not yet. Ranger Creek will come a little later. Right now, working on some water. That's a good start. I would have some coffee, but my coffee machine broke like right before I went to do this, so I'm kind of bummed. So, looking at the MLS standings, FC Dallas is in second, Houston is in third right now. Houston, they opened up the season with two wins and then took on Portland this past weekend and got beat up a little bit. It was a 4-2 loss for Houston. But they're still in third with, let's see, what is it? 6 points, 1 point behind Dallas, which has 7 points, sitting in second in the West, just behind Portland with 9 points. So, Texas teams are showing up in MLS this year. And obviously, it's still really early. We're three games into the season for MLS, so it's nothing to get too worked up about yet, right? But It's interesting to see these two MLS teams that are within a long driving distance. It's definitely not an easy trip up to Frisco or Houston, but two MLS teams are performing at high levels right now. FC Dallas had two U.S. Men's National Team call-ups. Houston had Beasley. I'm not sure if they had anybody else, but we're getting some quality first division soccer in Texas right now. So it'll be really interesting to see how many fans from Austin and San Antonio and these outside of the Dallas and Houston metro, how many fans they're able to attract this season. If they're able to keep up this momentum and keep up this success, is it going to mean fuller stadiums? Is it going to mean more of an outreach? Obviously, the inability to watch most of those games for free is a pretty massive detriment to their cause. It's extremely difficult to find an FC Dallas game from what I've seen, other than using MLS Live. Houston Dynamo, their broadcast, I believe, still on a route, but I know some cable companies don't carry that and some do, so it's really difficult to watch an MLS game here. So it'll be really interesting to see how those fans gravitate towards those teams, if they care about those teams, if they're doing well, if they care about those teams, if Kellen Acosta turns it up for the U.S. men's national team in these World Cup qualifiers coming up. It's something that I think has the potential to show how much this area wants top-level soccer and how much, you know, we crave it, basically. I mean, there's no shortage of soccer fans in this area. It's just a matter of access. I mean, if you were able to watch FC Dallas games, would you be into it like people are into the Dallas Cowboys? If you were able to watch Houston Dynamo games more regularly, would you be into it like some people are into the Astros or the Texans? I mean, it's something that's impossible to answer right now because they just don't have that distribution. But it's something that is a double-edged sword because it has the potential to really show that this area wants top-level soccer. On the other hand, those people who want MLS expansion in San Antonio or Austin, you're also kind of going, no, I don't really care about those teams. I want my own team, right? So I'm curious to hear from people if they have an MLS team that they care about, and if it isn't a Texas team, why? If it is a Texas team, why? Hit us up on Twitter at Local Soccer Show, and I'm really curious about that. But both Texas MLS teams off to an incredibly hot start so far this year. I want to try and get up to see games at both of those stadiums this year. I actually have not been in person. So I'm really curious, especially with some of the young talent that FC Dallas is rolling out. In addition to doing well in MLS, FC Dallas is still alive in the CONCACAF Champions League, which is a little bit of a surprise. They're really the last MLS team that has a shot at moving past this round, if we're being honest. They won their first league, their first leg match 2-1, I believe, which was a welcome sight. If you saw the FC Dallas Sporting Kansas City match before that last CONCACAF Champions League match, it was some of the ugliest soccer that I've ever seen. FC Dallas went to Kansas City with the intention of trying to get a point and nothing more. It was constant, just parking the bus and not trying to not let them score. And that was pretty much it. So it was interesting to see that tactic deployed. And then they really stepped it up in their match against Pachuca a few days later for the CONCACAF Champions League. So FC Dallas has been a little streaky to watch. Some of their games have been unbearably boring. And I was a little frustrated watching this last week's match where they ended up coming back 2-1 against New England Revolution, but it was not pretty for a huge chunk of that match. And it's really frustrating when you have Kellen Acosta getting called up to the U.S. men's national team and not really being involved in a club-level game. It was, he could have just brought out a lawn chair and parked it in the center circle, and that would have been about the same contribution for most of that game. So it'll be interesting to see as they go through the year if they're able to get these, you know, young, emerging star players into the game plan a little bit more. Houston, man, if you're not watching Houston, you're missing out. They're one of the most fun teams to watch right now in MLS. They are scoring a lot of goals. They're not giving up too many goals, barring that Portland game, which it's hard to go into Providence Park and come away with a point, let alone three. So I'm not too worried there. But if you have the opportunity to watch Houston, do it, because they are really fun to watch this year. And it is interesting that their head coach was coaching RGV last year. So a little USL tie there for the San Antonio fans. I'm not saying you have to be a fan of Houston. I'm just saying if you want to watch some entertaining soccer, it's there. And it's pretty solid. So last thing I wanted to talk about was the U.S. Men's National Team World Cup qualifiers coming up this week. No big surprise on that, but the starting 11 is anybody's guess at this point. I'm not even going to predict a starting 11 because there's so many different options, and every time that I think I've got one nailed down, somebody else gets hurt. So I'm just going to stop doing that. For anyone who isn't caught up, some of the big notables that are going to be missing due to injury or other life events or suspensions. We have DeAndre Yedlin is hurt still. Fabian Johnson, after Bruce Arena preached the gospel of him being a midfielder and not a defender, and arena got everybody so excited because Fabian Johnson is finally going to be played where he's supposed to be played. And then what happens? He gets hurt. So Fabian Johnson's out. Jermaine Jones is going to be out due to cards. Accumulation, I believe. I can't remember if he got a red card or if it was accumulation at this point. But he's out. We are really, really shallow at a few different places. So the thing that worries me most, though, coming out of this weekend is Tim Howard. Tim Howard is going to be starting in goal. Brad Guzan isn't even going to be on the roster because his wife is expected to have their baby this week. So Tim Howard, God-tier goalkeeper against Belgium in the World Cup, against many, many opponents over his whole career. But he gave up two goals to Minnesota United. Their first MLS point achieved was against Tim Howard the week before World Cup qualifiers. So I hope that that doesn't get in his head. I hope that it was just a fluke and more of a product of the Colorado backline as opposed to Howard's goalkeeping abilities. But it seems like every sure thing that this team had going for it is gone at this point. The Brooks-Cameron center-back pairing may not even happen, and if it does, it hasn't been at the standard that it was at a couple years ago at the Gold Cup, and everything is a question mark for this team, and it's time to really come to grips with the fact that we might miss this World Cup. It's possible. I would much rather miss it handing the reins to Christian Pulisic and Darlington Nagby and some of these younger players than trotting out the same old Jurgen Klinsmann beat-up mess of a starting 11. I hope Bruce Arena has something different in mind. I really do, but his options are very limited. So in case you haven't been keeping up with the men's team, that's where we're at. Lots of question marks and lots of worries from me. So that's about it. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it off here for today. Our episodes are going to be anywhere from probably 15 to 30 minutes long, depending on what's going on that week. I really appreciate you guys who come to hang out live. The podcast, the audio recording of this, is going to be available, should be available later today. If not, it'll be available early Tuesday morning. Really appreciate you hanging out. Really appreciate you supporting this new show, just by listening or by watching and participating on Facebook Live. So if you're listening to the podcast, the music was provided by the band Power Cowards. You can check them out on Spotify. Highly recommend it. Another San Antonio-based, a bunch of San Antonio kids. They moved around the country at this point. I like them, and I hope you like it too. So, anyway, until next time, thank you for hanging out. I'll catch you next time.